Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. They've served the Valley for more than five decades. A very simple motto. Service and price mean everything to them because, ironically, it means everything to you. Auto, home, life, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humbles Wharf. Okay, Pac-12 presidents have been talking about NCAA reform, and this goes with the breaking away part. Where the five power conferences would get some autonomy. This is what the Pac-12 presidents have talked about, and some Big Ten presidents are mulling over right now. Number one, permit institutions to make scholarship awards up to the full cost of attendance. Provide reasonable ongoing medical or insurance assistance if there is an incapacitating injury in competition or in practice. Okay, that one is total, complete, common sense and responsibility. Guarantee that scholarships are for enough time to complete a bachelor's degree, provided that the student remains in good academic standing. Decrease the time demands placed on the student-athlete in season, and also enlarge the time available for studies and full engagement in campus life by doing the following. Prevent the abuse of organized voluntary practices to circumvent the limit of 20 hours per week. Hard to police, but I like what they're talking about. I'd increase the hours to 25. Okay, and cut it there. And if anybody goes beyond it, like, you know, well, come on, get that extra workout in. Oh, please. Okay. More realistically, assess the time away from campus and other commitments during the season, including travel time. College football is different than college basketball, and that has to be realized here. Do you know how many class hours are missed playing college football? Per year.
I know we talked about this, but I don't remember what it was.
Zero.
That's right. It was zero for football, but basketball was different?
Basketball is a little bit more because you right. do have, even though, okay, basketball is a couple things. For example, Penn State is a fall break. Penn State is going to go to the Charleston tournament that's going to be occurring, let's see. Where they're going to be gone Thursday and Friday, okay, during class. Then fall break starts right after that, and they have a road game at Bucknell the day after Thanksgiving. Well, Penn State will miss no time at all there. There are no class hours missed. They're not in class. Then Penn State has a road game at Marshall. They won't miss any. They've got a game in Allentown against Drexel. They won't miss any. So in the non-conference Penn State basketball, the players will miss two days total. Total. Now, when you get to the Big Ten season, the first couple of weeks of the Big Ten season are during term break. So you don't miss any classroom time there, and you probably miss class time. And it turns out the Big Ten tournament's during spring break at Penn State, so you don't miss any time there. So Penn State probably, student athletes probably miss a total of four class days in the Big Ten season, and they'll miss six class days overall. Football misses none. Now, there will be a change. They'll miss some. For the first time ever, they'll miss some. For the first time ever. Because classes begin on Monday. They'll be there Tuesday, but the football players will miss Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to go to Ireland. Because classes start that week. That's the first time I can ever remember a Penn State football team missing class days. The only other time they were scheduled to miss a class day is they had a Thursday night game scheduled with Virginia in 2001, but it was postponed to December 1st because of 9/11. Penn State was supposed to fly on 9/12. But that's it. You know, one of Joe's biggest wins ever was that win over Miami in 1967, where he decided to start all the sophomores. And that the people don't realize that game was on a Friday night, so they missed class time to do that. But football, if you have a normal football situation and you're not playing in the All-American Conference where you're playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or the Mid-America, if you're in one of the major conferences, all right, and you're staying away from the Thursday night game, if the Big Ten doesn't have any Thursday night games, you're missing no class time at all. I mean, I'm talking zero class time missed. So that's a little ambiguous there. Let's see. Similarly, decrease time demands out of season by reducing out of season competition and practices. That one I disagree with completely. I think the way they have it now with 15 spring practices in football is fine. I think the four-hour rule when it comes to college basketball is fine. And I just talked about, look, in the 8 hours, the coaches should be able to supervise two of those hours a week, 7-on-7 and things like that. I think more contact with coaches is actually a good thing. Okay, it's better than, I think, them being on their own. So I think that needs to have a longer, harder look at it. Further strengthen the APR requirements for postseason play. Okay, it's fine. Address the one-and-done phenomenon in men's basketball. That if the NBA and the Players Association aren't able to agree on raising the age limit for players, consider restoring freshman ineligibility rule in men's basketball. No. That I'd look around the room and go, excuse me, what? You want to do what? Just because Wiggins and Parker, okay, there's just a handful of guys that have done the one and done thing this year. A handful. And there's no more than a handful any year. And guys that have left early for, you know, take Trey Burke. Yeah, Trey Burke left early. He was a first-round pick, but he was also, he had finished his second year. He wasn't a one-and-done. Jared Sullinger, really good player at Ohio State, drafted by the Celtics first round, 22nd pick overall. But he went actually 2 years. Many people thought he'd be one-and-done. He wasn't. Now, Kentucky certainly has some one-and-dones. Randall, of course, being the primary one, he'll be a top 5 or 6 pick. But no. To me, the compromise between the NBA and the Players Association should be as follows. If a player wants to leave high school to opt for the NBA draft, they should be allowed to. But if the player opts to go to college, then that player would not be eligible for the NBA draft until after his second year of college, or age 20, or and age 20. It'd be both, and be age 20. To me, that should be the NBA rule. If you want to go from high school to pros and enter yourself in the draft and get an agent, hey, good luck to you. But if you opt to go to college and sign a letter of intent, you're not eligible for the NBA draft until after your second year and be 20 years of age. That, to me, that's the compromise I'd like to see. Let's see. Provide student athletes a meaningful role in governance at the conference and NCAA levels. That's fine. Most aren't interested at all. adjust existing restrictions so that student athletes preparing for the next stage of their careers are not unnecessarily deprived of the advice and counsel of agents and other competent professionals, but without professionalizing intercollegiate athletics. I don't want college athletes to have entourage. I think some of the worst advice I see, you have to remember, professional advice and so forth. Okay, I'm an agent. I have a chance for Mike Smith of the Penn State football team to be my client. Now, am I going to give him professional advice to stay in school? Or am I going to give him professional advice to turn professional where, oh, by the way, when I negotiate the contract, I get 3%? Now, what am I going to do as a professional agent? This is where the coach needs to come into play, and this is where a huge failing has happened in the college system, at which the fans participate, by the way. Get rid of them. You need to have coaches in place 5-6 years so the program can be all theirs. You'd be amazed when a coach has security, the kind of competent advice they can give this student athlete. They don't need a professional, an agent to come in and talk to them. They should be able to go to their coach, and their coach should be able to call up a couple of people that he has connections with and say, okay, hey, look, Mike Smith just came to me. We're, you know, what range, what ballpark can you give me about where you guys think Mike could go? And then they tell you, and if a coach is secure in themselves, they will walk up to the player and they'll say, look, Mike, I just talked to some people I know that are pretty well connected, so they can't obviously give an exact number. Nobody can. But here's the ballpark. They tell me you're going to be a second or third round pick. They tell me you're going to be a fifth or sixth round pick. Coach, what should I do? Mike, I can't really tell you what to do. I said, if you were my son, I would tell you to stay. Boom. If you were my son, I'd tell you to go. This is a great opportunity for you. That's why the Dean Smiths and the Joe Paternos of the world were an incredible resource for players, because the player could walk up to them and say, Coach, I'm thinking about doing this. Help me out. And the coach makes some calls, and the coach finds out a couple of things for them and gives them a range. And then if they ask him, hey, what is your advice? They'll tell him one way or the other, go, or, you know, I would tell my son to go or stay, because they've already had the reputation of telling players to go, that they know darn well their job security is not related to Mike Smith staying. Right? It's not related to Mike Smith staying. But now when you got, oh, 2-3 years, oh my goodness, fire him, this is awful, terrible, the whole thing, you know. Hey, media participates, okay, fans participate, the whole thing. I mean, you know, and the pressure put on these guys these days, who are obviously making a ton of money, but it's absurd. I mean, every time I turn around, there's somebody that's been someplace 3 years and they're out. Well, you know what, you're not doing the student athlete any service whatsoever to the scenario I talked about at all, when they're fighting for their own job every second. They can get competent advice from people who are secure in what they're already doing. That if I let Mike Smith go, I know it's in Mike Smith's best interest. We're fine. We'll survive without him. As an educator, okay, this is Mike's best path in life. Well, when you have coaches trying to hang on by their thumbnails all the time, they're getting fan pressure, getting letters to the other, getting social media, you know, media is now joining in and so forth. And, oh, the groundswell, got to, you know, we need a change. We won 15 games last year instead of 18. Come on. Okay? believe me, okay, I've never seen so many people in my life so anxious to start over all the time. I'm not into starting over. I'm not into starting over at all. I'm into taking what you have and establishing something that's got some foundation and some meat to it. And I know people like new because all I ever get asked about are, what about the freshmen? What about the freshmen? I don't know. I'm kind of hoping like the 15 seniors over there play a lot because that means my program's in good shape. But the freshmen are new, different, thus the interest. I get that part.
Well, so, a lot of people know about the seniors. They just don't know about the freshmen.
No. You know, the only people I've heard over the years that said to me, you know what, Joe Paterno would not play the best guys. He always plays the guys with seniority. How many times you hear that one?
Yeah, I've heard that at different things.
Yeah, well, here's a word for you, asinine, okay? Because, all right, do you think a coaching staff actually sits down in a room and says, you know what, I don't think we should play the best guys. You know, I think we had to play the season with one arm tied behind our back and see how good we really are. Who the heck does that?
Let's just play the guys who've been here a long time.
I mean, I'm at practice every day, Kevin. Every day. And I have people will walk up to me, I can't believe he's not playing him. I go, well, I'm there every day. I can believe why he's not playing him. What? What? They look at you like you're confused. Like, no. I'm sorry. I'm there every day. I can tell you why guys aren't playing. I can tell you why that guy's playing and why that guy's not playing. And because some recruiting service says he's got 4 and 5 stars, I'm an absolute idiot for not knowing the difference. I'm like, I don't know, I look at practice, goes the wrong way, doesn't know the plays, he's struggling.
But he's got 5 stars.
Yeah, I know. Hey, and then the last one here is, they're way off base on that one. That one's dumb. They need their coach to help them with that. Liberalize the current rules, limiting the ability of student athletes to transfer between institutions. Number one, they should be allowed to transfer to any school and conference. They should have to sit out a year. They should have to sit out a year even if they've graduated. And the only time I would ever allow somebody to transfer from there are only two reasons why I would allow somebody to go from school A to school B and not sit out a year. One is if the team he's on is on probation and he has nothing to do with the probation. And number two is if his coach was fired.
I think it would be hard to kind of manipulate that rule.
Now wait,
hear me out.
What are you talking about?
It would be harder to manipulate a situation there than the one they do now, which is they manipulate the rule that says you're a hardship rule for transfer.
Hey, if your coach is fired,
I agree.
To me, you should be able to transfer right away.
I'm not saying. That's not an easy rule to manipulate.
I mean, the school fired him.
Right.
Okay? Like, sitting there, go, okay, fine. I'd like to transfer to another school. And that's, you should not have to say that. Now, if the coach leaves on his own, no. Can't do it. You'd have to sit out of here.
No, I agree with you there, because I don't think you can manipulate the rule the way the hardship rule is being manipulated right now.
No, I already said I wouldn't allow that. I said, nope, you'd have to sit out a year. You graduate, still got to sit out a year. Okay? But I would loosen up the rule to say that if your school goes on probation, okay, through no fault of your own, you should be allowed to transfer without the penalty of a year.
But you can't recruited.
Oh, yeah, no. Once you announce you're going, you can be recruited.
Long as they don't show up outside the practice facility.
Well, no, that every school. No, I'm serious. Any school that set their foot on the property here should have been brought up. Okay, should have been brought up. Okay, the NCAA created that.
Right.
But I'm saying if you go on probation, you should be allowed to transfer without sitting out a year. The other part is if your coach is fired, you should be able to transfer without sitting out a year. But if your coach leaves to take another job, you have to sit out a year. Because, again, I don't want the scenario of, gee, I play for Kevin Herr. Kevin Herr got the Kentucky job. I'm going to follow Kevin Herr. That's why the rule's put in place. I remember Ryan Mallett, for example, wanted to transfer because he's like, I can't run Rich Rodriguez's offense. Well, Lloyd Carr retired. Okay, different. Didn't get fired. He retired. So, no.
If it's something of the coach's own choice, it wouldn't count under your proposed plan. However, if the university were to remove the coach, then it would be okay.
Exactly. Yeah, you're out, okay? I'm not going to sit here and be a hostage. Okay? I'm going to, you know, at that point, I think the student-athlete needs to do what's best for the student-athlete. If staying is in their best interest, then stay. If they want to go someplace else, feel they got a shot at it, go ahead. But if you want to sit there and go, oh, yeah, we got all this talent. Hey, look, hey, as a school, it's part of the risk of you firing them. Okay? Got to put a little more risk into the game. That's how I would change that rule. Hardship rule? No. Got to sit out a year. Graduate? No. Got to sit out a year. Coach leaves to go someplace else? No. Got to sit out a year. But to me, if your coach is fired, you should be able to transfer without the penalty of a year. And if your school is put on probation, you should be able to do, okay, without the penalty of a year. If as long as you're not involved, why should you have to sit there and wait for everything to get better? I mean, I know people are, oh, look what Silas read. I understand that. Now, would I do it? No, I wouldn't. That's not me. That's not my personality. But I'm saying I think you have to give them the option to do it. Now, the reason the NCAA did it was the same reason they took away the wins. Let's really be vindictive. But these Pac-12 proposals, some of them are really good, and others you sit back and go, you can't possibly be intellectuals, are you?
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour of our Indy Free Zone. Took the first half hour of the show and just flushed it right down the drain. Let Kevin talk all he wants about it. And in the rearview mirror it goes. Until we get to Pocono, we're going to talk a lot about Pocono. And the reason we're going to talk a lot about Pocono is that it's great to get the series for the second straight year in our own backyard, and it's a local event, as far as I'm concerned, of national importance. And we're going to talk a lot about IndyCar racing when it gets to Pocono. All right? Oh, pick yourself up off the floor, will you?
It's a shocking moment for me. I mean, I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say that.
Oh, I said it last year.
I know, and it shocked me as much then. Listen, you enjoyed watching those old cars run around the track on Friday when we were up there. Admit it.
Oh, my goodness, Kevin. I want to tell you right now, I know it was the Indy Lights guys that were warming up. I loved it. Sitting there watching it and then watching the retro cars go around. Because I was driving out, the retro cars were going. And right. it was great. I mean, our day there, I thoroughly enjoyed. And I loved watching the practice of some of the Indy Lights guys, the speed that they generated, the quickness. I thought it was, to me, it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it a lot.
You know who followed me out of the track that Friday, don't you?
Yes, I know.
The Ryan current Hunter Indy Ray 500 Fine. Champion. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't pass you. How good is he? All right.
Actually, he did pass me. Let's just say he might be used to going 220. 65 was not overly comfortable on Interstate 80 as he headed up toward 81 then.
Yes, but you holding a pencil and pen outside the window going, sign this for me.
It's not easy to do at 95 miles an hour, let me tell you.
Yes, and once again, another important statement for the state police. It's a blue car. It's a Ford. All right, I mean, what's next? Hoping your porch falls down so you get the insurance to replace it?
It's a blue car.
Is that the next?
I mean, look at the white car with the red and blue lights chasing the blue car.
This entire show has been about how you try to circumvent the law. Oh, goodness gracious.
Great, I got an FBI in a file now, thanks to this program.
Oh, no, they don't have a file on you. I believe in some circles it's referred to as a dossier. All right. Oh, now I feel like I'm talking to Jack. Well.
You know,
James Franklin.
Oh, go ahead.
Please. No, please go ahead.
Well, I was going to issue a complaint that I have right now. I mean, you know how I feel about All-Star games in general. And I'm all for the fans to try and be able to vote for All-Star players. I think they should have a percentage of the vote.
Yes, how many Phillies are you voting for?
Right now, I'm thinking of maybe one.
Okay.
And that would be the second baseman. Although I'm not 100% sure about that yet. But I do have a little bit of issue with Derek Jeter being one of the upper-end vote-getters. Now, has he had a great career? Yeah. Do I respect the career he's had? Yes. Does he deserve to be in the 2014 All-Star game? No. It is not. I understand this is his last year. I get that. But it is not an honor that you get for your career. It's an honor you get for the first half of your season. I wish fans would think of the All-Star game that way instead of voting for your favorite player to be in the All-Star game. It bugs me.
I have five words for you. I want you to remember these five words.
Five words. All right. I'm writing them down.
It is
an
exhibition game.
Exhibition game. Got it.
Okay? It doesn't count. The mumbo jumbo about, oh, yeah, it gives you home field in the World Series, blah, blah, who cares? Okay?
That's wrong, by the way.
I don't even care about that. It doesn't matter. To me, the team with the best record in baseball should be the one that has the,
exactly,
the home field advantage.
Totally okay? Agree with that.
Especially with interleague play, everybody's playing everybody anyway. So the fans, as much as you can talk about it's the first half of the season and so forth, it's the fans' game. Every game's the fans' game. Okay? If there are no fans, there is no game. If there are no fans, there are no $20 million contracts. If there are no fans, there's no national TV or radio contracts. Okay, without the fans.
I'm not going to deny that. You're right.
Okay? They should be entitled to see the person they want to see. They should not have to sit there and do extensive research on who the best shortstops are in the American League. Okay? I don't know.
But maybe, see, that's where I disagree. That's where I disagree with you.
It's the all-star game.
You have a responsibility as a fan of the sport.
No, you don't.
I'm
no,
sorry,
you don't.
I disagree with you.
No, you don't. You pay the money, you don't. Okay? You don't. All right? They should be able to say, I want to see Derek Jeter one more time in the all-star game. Okay?
Don't call it the all-star game, because it's not then.
Excuse me, the guy, he's a Hall of Famer, okay? He's more than an all-star.
Fine.
He's a Hall of Famer, okay? I remember at the end of his career, Mickey Mantle pitch inning in the all-star game. I was 10 years old at the time. Voom, right to the TV set, Mickey Mantle. Like, it's Mickey Mantle. Okay? Guess what? I didn't want to see Mike Hegan of the Seattle Pilots. I could care less if Don Mincher played in it. It didn't matter to me if Horace Clark was out there. Wow, that's Mickey Mantle. Okay? The game is built in terms of its fame on the back of its stars. Okay? If the fans want to see and pay tribute to Derek Jeter one more time, vote for Derek Jeter. You don't have to sit there and go, hey, Derek Jeter's resume is like this. You want to know how many half-season wonders there are in baseball? I mean, Jeff Locke was in the All-Star game last year. Where's Jeff Locke now? Indianapolis. Okay? He's not even in the majors right now. But he was an All-Star last year.
But okay?
Yes, he should.
No, no, no.
Absolutely.
But should Jeter be listed ahead of the Ramirez, the White Sox shortstop who's hitting 320 right now?
Guess what? Ramirez brought Jeter to start too, I'll bet.
Well, if he wants to give Jeter up his starting spot, that's fine.
No, Derek Jeter should be starting in the All-Star game. Okay? It's not even, it's one of those easy things where it's not even debatable.
I just don't think that's what the All-Star game is supposed to be. The All-Star game is supposed to be a reward for a good season, not a good career.
The All-Star game is whatever you deem it to be. Okay, that's what you deem it to be. So the heck with Derek Jeter on yours. You're going to vote for Ramirez of the White Sox. That's fine. Okay? But guess what? The vast majority of America disagrees with you. They'd rather see Derek Jeter in the All-Star game.
602,000, as a matter of fact.
Well, because they know it's his last time. He's retiring. He's done. All right?
I get this all is, that. You know, I get the sentimental thing, but you're always telling me, don't be sentimental. It's
this
sports.
This is the All-Star game. It's not regular season. Okay? I think that Joe Girardi has managed Derek Jeter brilliantly this year. He has sat him down. He's kept him out of the lineup. When he's been slumping, he hasn't played him because it's, you know, because it's the farewell tour. Joe Girardi has garnered great respect for me. You know, you're going back to your Troy Polamalu thing. Fine. You know, I mean, you know, you want to do the Chariots of Fire thing with an outside linebacker who can't play anymore. That's your business. Okay? But that's business. This is an exhibition game. It's a meaningless exhibition game. Okay? I want to see Justin Verlander out there. I want to see Derek Jeter out there. I mean, you can't even name, for me, 30 guys who were on the All-Star game last year.
No, I couldn't. You're right. But I also don't want to see somebody that deserves to be in the All-Star game because Derek Jeter is.
Oh, they expand the rosters. Come on.
Well, and that's fine. Make sure that happens.
What is the biggest? If they do it every year, they expand the rosters. 28, 29 guys. What's the biggest moment in last year's All-Star game?
I don't know.
What was the biggest?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't
know? What was
know?
The biggest
How
moment?
How could you not?
What's the biggest moment?
Mariano Rivera coming in to pitch the eighth inning.
Okay, but he deserved to be there.
Every single person in the ballpark gave him a standing ovation. Both dugouts gave him a standing ovation.
But he also deserved to be there for the way he was playing.
When Derek Jeter comes to the plate, he will get a standing ovation at Target Field. Both dugouts will give him a standing ovation. It'll be good for the game of baseball to see the standing ovation. And by the way, Ramirez will come to the plate, and everybody go. It's like getting a par on 17 at the Greater Hartford Open.
Then just put him on. Then just put him in the game, and don't put him on the ballot, and let people vote for the best player, and then put him on the team anyway. I'm fine with that. I have no problem with him being on the team, but he shouldn't be getting votes from fans if you want to put him on the team because he's a great moment for baseball.
Derek Jeter has earned his place on the ballot.
Okay, but somebody
Derek Jeter has earned the vote of every fan out there because Derek Jeter has done and played the game exactly the way you want to see the game played for 20 years. And this is a lifelong, die-hard, dyed-in-the-wool Boston Red Sox fan.
It does hurt
fan.
For you to say this, I know.
Not in the least. No, it doesn't hurt me in the least because I know what greatness looks like, and so do all the fans that are voting for him. I don't need to vote for the Ramirez kid, okay? I don't care what he's done in a half season. Whoop-dee-doo. I don't care what he's done for a half a season. I just watched a two-decade body of work that tells me he should start the All-Star. If he was not retiring this year, okay, then you have an argument. But he is retiring this year. He should start the All-Star game because he has a two-decade body of work that explains why Ramirez's place in baseball is even there because of guys like Jeter that have made the game better.
What about a guy right now that's sitting third at shortstop, like J.J. Hardy, for instance? What if he has...
What about...
No, wait.
He'll get there.
What if he has a contract that states he gets a bonus if he's in the All-Star game and is locked out of the All-Star game because Derek Jeter got more votes?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I'd sit there and go, geez, you know, for two decades, that's Derek Jeter. You know, there's certain things that are common sense here. Okay, I would expect the year David Ortiz to retire that he would be the DH in the All-Star game. I mean, he had a 3-run homer yesterday in Atlanta. More than half that stadium went nuts. Okay? Went crazy. I'm sorry. There's certain guys. Baseball is getting fewer and fewer of these guys that transcend the game. Ortiz transcends the game. Jeter transcends the game. Rivera transcends the game. Okay? Mike Trout has a chance to transcend the game. Maybe Pujols. Maybe. Okay? You love Utley. He doesn't transcend the game, but he's a fabulous player. I like Utley a lot, but he doesn't transcend the game.
No, but he's the only Philly I'd vote for right now in the All-Star game. And feel free to disagree with me at 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565.
This is the fans' game. If Jeter were not retiring this year, say he was in the 16th year of his career, he wouldn't make the All-Star game. And I wouldn't vote for him. But it's a different example when a guy says, this is it. This is my career. I'm sorry. I'm voting for that guy.
So you're okay.
I want to see the Hall of Famer in a meaningless exhibition game one more time. But it's a meaningless exhibition game. It's not a regular season game. It's not a game that has any meaning to it whatsoever.
But it's not meaningless anymore. That's the problem.
In what way?
It's not meaningless because now it will decide the postseason. That's the problem. It's not a meaningless game anymore.
Well, guess what? Okay, of all the guys that you just talked about, he's the one guy that's been to the postseason. He knows how to do it. Okay.
No argument, but you can't call it a meaningless game anymore.
It is a meaningless game. Determining home field advantage in the World Series is so who cares? Okay, home field advantage doesn't mean as much as it used to mean. I mean, let's go one game after another here where home teams have lost the big game at home over and over and over. I mean, the Red Sox have won, what, 3 World Series the last 10 years? 2 of the 3 were won on the opposing team's field. Okay? Home ice advantage.
Okay.
Rangers go in, clock Montreal, got a split there, go home, win 2 at home. Kings split at Chicago, win game 2. Miami splits at Indiana, goes home. Okay, we've seen more road teams win than ever before. It's meaningless. It was a nice try by Bud Selig to give it a little more juice after the 7-7 tie and the suspension of the All-Star game in Milwaukee a dozen years ago. That's all it is. That's all it is. The fans should be able to see the players they want to see.
I really disagree, though, when you say that it's a meaningless game now. I understand what you mean by that.
It's a meaningless game. If it was a meaningful game, okay, then hand Justin Verlander the ball and tell him to give you 7-8 innings.
I can't argue with that. No, I mean, I can't argue with what you're saying. But my problem is, don't add something to the outcome.
I don't want, okay? Okay, you know what? 1 year is 2003, I believe. Remember the year? Oh, the relief pitcher for the Dodgers. He got traded to the Red Sox. He was awful. He saved, 50-something games in a row that year without a miss.
I can't think of it either, but that doesn't surprise me. Your mind works a lot better than mine.
Okay. Well, guess what? Okay. You want to know why the Yankees had home field advantage in the World Series that year? Because he gave up a home run to Hank Blaylock in the All-Star game. Oh, he did blow a save. Okay, it didn't count, but he blew one save the entire year and it was in the All-Star game. And guess what? The Florida Marlins won the World Series in Yankee Stadium. It doesn't mean anything. Okay, if it meant something, Justin Verlander gets the ball for 8 innings. Okay, if it meant something, Andrew McCutchen doesn't come out of the game.
Well, my point is it needs to change.
If it meant something, who leads? Okay, David Ortiz would be the DH all 9 innings. Pedroia would be the second baseman, or Cano all 9 innings.
Yeah, but the commissioner made a mistake by attaching home field advantage of the World Series to the All-Star game. I know why he did it. I know why.
He's trying to give some meeting after the tie and where they were out of players. That's why there are more spots available. That's why your precious J.J. Hardy will make it.
I'm worried.
Okay. J.J. Hardy will make it. He'll be fine. Ramirez will make it. They'll get it. Okay. Derek Jeter, who I think even Ramirez people and Hardy's people, even they think that Jeter's had a Hall of Fame career. Yeah. Okay. Guess in Minnesota, okay, even more so than the Twins that will participate, Joe Mauer, whomever, will get the biggest ovation.
Well, of course it's going to be Jeter. I'm not going to be crazy and say it's not.
Why the hell do we want to see that guy then?
I'm not saying. I give.
The guy.
No mas.
He gives the game he gives the game more meaning by starting the game than by being eliminated under your criterion.
Fine. I won't vote for him. How's that? I'm not going to vote for him.
Fans will watch the game at the beginning because they want to see him get his at bat.
just like last year, people hung around to the eighth inning to watch Rivera pitch. And for Jim Leland, that was a tough decision as to what to do with him. And he decided to pitch him in the eighth inning because he knew if he pitched him in the eighth inning, he would pitch.
I get all that. That's why I'm not arguing any of that. What I'm saying is I just don't feel it's right that a spot, and as long as this doesn't happen, I'm fine. But he should not take the spot of someone else.
What spot? Derek Jeter. Okay? There are certain people in the All-Star game. They are down to the finish. I wanted to watch Willie Mays get his at-bat when he was with the Mets. Okay? Hank Aaron with the Brewers. All-Star game. Play him.
I also think there should be...
Because guess what? They're different. They earn their spot in life. Okay? Derek Jeter's done more in 20 years than Ramirez is going to do in his half season. He's done more for the game. He will leave the game better because of how he played it as a professional. He's a champion. Hey, okay? He's won 5 championships in his career. I mean, on and on you go. I mean, 3,000 hits. Okay, first ballot Hall of Famer. And you want Ramirez from the White Sox to start.
It's all right. I also support open substitutions in the All-Star game, too, to make sure everybody plays. And you can bring guys back if you want.
No, you can't bring guys back.
I knew you wouldn't like that.
No, because I don't want to look at a guy that's cold, okay, who's come out, stiffened up after being out there. Then I put him back in there and he gets hurt. You have to have common sense about this. Hey, you take them out, you cool down. Guess what? I don't want you going back out there. Common sense says you can't do it.
I've never been accused of having that.